This is the Flip Empire Show with Alex Pardo, episode 56.
Welcome to the Flip Empire Show, bringing you the interviews, strategies, and insights for smart real estate investors. Prepare to dive into the minds of real estate's heavy hitters and gain the cutting-edge expertise you need to scale and grow your real estate empire. Your success and freedom starts now with your host, Alex Pardo.
All right, so before we jump into the content for the expert interview with Ramon Gonzalez, which is part two, I just want to give you a disclosure, a fair warning. If you've already listened to part one, if you haven't listened to part one, I would encourage you to stop this one or pause it, listen to that. It's going to make a lot more sense, give you more context, and I think you're just going to enjoy the show a lot more. But at the beginning of part one, I'm giving the same disclosure that I'm about to give you right now. If you're somebody that you're easily offended, you maybe don't like to hear bad words here or there, then this might not be the show for you. Ramon, like I mentioned in part one, and like I mentioned in the interview, he's a unique guy, and you know, he is who he is, and he's a good friend of mine. And occasionally he's going to throw out a bad word here or there, and he's got some analogies that you may or may not find funny. So this might not be up your alley, but just know that we cover a lot of great content from analyzing market cycles and how to use that data to put your business and yourself in the best position to succeed. We also talk about his prehab strategy, his wholesale strategy. So if you haven't listened to part one, I would encourage you pause this now. Listen to part one, which is episode 54. Just go to flipempire.com/episode54. You can listen to that. And then, I just wanted to give you that disclosure before we jump into part two with Ramon Gonzalez. Well, let me ask you this, man. What, from a marketing standpoint, because one of the things I'm always preaching to my team is, our focus should always be on lead generation and it should be on lead conversion. And we talked a little bit about lead conversion. What are some of the things that are working for you now when it comes to marketing for not only motivated sellers, but also for some of these prehabbers or the wholesale buyers? Like, what are you doing to go out and generate leads in this market?
Because we're buying properties that they want. So for example, I know what the buyers want. They want first time home buyer neighborhoods that they can buy it, fix it, and resell it and make a profit. So we know where those neighborhoods are. So the chances of me getting those buyers in the current market cycle, the buyers to me aren't that important. Given, again, understand what I'm saying. Given the current market cycle, buyers are a dime a dozen. Oh, I've got cash. Yeah, you know what? So do I. Everybody's got cash. Cash is a commodity. Rehabbing is a commodity in the current cycle. What's important is, can you find the deal? Can you bring it to market? Can you solve problems? Guys, business is only solving problems. If you can solve problems, innovate, and market, you're always going to be successful, no matter what cycle. Now, you got to adjust that because there's different problems each season. Presents different problems, so you got to be able to solve those. So right now, buyers to me are a dime a dozen. I don't really have a whole lot of relationships. I don't even have a huge, we have a big buyers list, but I'm going to get a better buyer on the MLS. That's just the reality of it. I don't think any wholesaler out there, I don't care who you are, you're not going to compete with the MLS if the market's super hot, because they're going to have someone that's going to pay more.
Yeah, because it's not uncommon for you to list a property, and you can speak to this, Ray, is how many, you list a property and 7 days later, how many offers do you have on that property?
If it's a prehab deal, we're selling to an investor buyer, it's a ton. And we'll list it low. We'll list it like the last one we had, we listed it at 119, it went for like 135, and we had like 15 offers. And then you go back to them, and I call it, give them the business. Have them go highest and best. They want the deal, right? Because at this point, they're a commodity. They add value to the deal by rehabbing it, but that's only a small amount of value to be added in the current market cycle. The real value in the current cycle is getting the deal.
Yeah.
Bringing the deal to market.
By the way, guys, if you didn't catch that, that's a gold nugget that he just shared right there. Is, I don't know if you heard that, but he said, you list it low, and then you give them the business, i.e. go back to them for highest and best. So if you're going to employ this strategy where you're going to put a property out on the MLS, you don't want to put it out at the top retail value, because what you want to encourage is bidding the price up. So Ray, give me an example.
And the investor buyers are used to that. So now if you try and wholesale a house, you don't want to do that. But the investors are used to paying because their value is what they can sell it for. What you want to do is create like a little frenzy.
Yeah.
I'm giving you people fire, baby. Fire.
So yeah, I love it, man. That's why I wanted to have you on. So give me the numbers here. Let's say a property's worth, let's say the after repaired value is worth 150. You're picking it up for what?
So our after repair value are like usually 190 to 250, somewhere in that range. So let's say 200 grand.
Okay.
After repair value is 200 grand. We're putting on the market at a buck 19, and then they'll start bidding it up. We did two of those. So one of them we sold for 135. The other one we sold for 139. But that other one we sold for 139 didn't have a realtor on the for the buyer side. So we actually really netted like 140, 142.
Right. Now, what did you put it out for 119. What are you picking it up for?
We picked one of them up for 80 and one of the other ones up for 70.
Okay. And now these you're selling to prehabbers, so you're still leaving some meat on the bone.
Some meat on the bone, but for example, they'll extract the meat off the bone. So one of the guys was a GC, and he had an investor that wanted to buy it for him because the GC wanted to live there and have his family do there, and he could kind of do the work on his own. So what you'll find on the MLS is those kind of buyers. You won't just find guys who are looking to buy, fix. They may have another use, guys, as you can over your business. And that one we sold for 140 had an $8,000 violation and lien that we didn't take care of. We passed it on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you can find buyers that have another intention for the property. The better the neighborhood, the one we sold behind Alex's coffee and pastelito shop. That one, the buyer wanted to live in it. It was a dad who bought it for his daughter across the street. And our highest other offer on the MLS was 180. We listed it like a 150 and we went up to 180. This guy said, I want it for 220. God bless his heart.
I love it. I love
and,
it.
And the way we're doing it now is, hey, listen, if you win, no contract, send 10 grand to my attorney, zero inspection. Mm-hmm. Take it or leave it. Why? Yeah. Because you are in control. You are bringing something to the market that the market needs and wants. You are a producer.
And if they don't like it, you can go on to the next one.
That's it.
That's right. So let's talk a little bit about you talked about the highest and best strategy. Let's do a little role playing here. I know you and I talked about this about a month ago.
Yep.
Let's just so that, you know, anybody listening can say, okay, well, this is a strategy I want to employ. How exactly do you go? And it's not rocket science, but just so that people can wrap their head around. I'm a realtor. I sent you an offer on behalf of my cash buyer for 150. Okay. So you've compiled 5, 10, 15 offers.
Right.
You come back to me now and you just simply ask for highest and best, right?
So we sent out an email to all of them saying, hey, there's a multiple offer situation. Guys, just like the REO days. I mean, we're back. Hey guys, we're in a multiple offer situation. This is a hot property. Here are the terms of the agreement. Please by Friday at 4 o'clock send over your highest and best. And no, if you win, you have 24 hours to get me that money to the attorney's office. And then we'll get into a contract. Uh-huh. No money, no contracting. I'm sorry.
You just went Scarface on us there, bro.
For sure.
Nice, man. Nice. So you gave us the numbers on the prehab. What about the wholesale side?
We just innovated this wholesale side. So this is our first deal that we're doing in a wholesale. It's going to go on the market probably this week. It'll be for sure this week. So we bought it for $170 in a great area. Now, I was concerned about buying it because the market at the time was at 220. But there wasn't a lot of inventory. I didn't really know the market that well. But it was a great house, a 4-2 with a pool and a canal. And I go, when you get that price point and that kind of a house, and the house is clean. Everything, it was just dated. Old bathrooms, old kitchen, you know, the pink and blue and whatever. But nice terrazzo flooring throughout. So I went in there. We did a little bit of landscaping in the front. Maybe spent, you know, $400 on the landscaping. In the back, we cleaned up the pool, maybe $500 in the pool. We painted the inside and put some lights up, maybe two grand there. So we're under five all in with insurance and utilities and all that crap. So the house just looks presentable, but it looks nice from the outside. It has good curb appeal. We didn't paint the exterior. We just made it presentable, put a little bit of lipstick on it. And that took less than a week. That took a couple of days to kind of get that work done. And then we're going to put it to market at 260. We bought it for $170. We're into it for like another $5,000. We're going to put it at the market at 260.
Let me ask you this, man. Does this only work for off-market properties that you're picking up directly from homeowners, private sellers? Or would this work, for example, we just closed on an REO last week. where, you know, the after repaired value of the property was about 260. We picked it up for 197, and I think we wholesaled it for 209. So the list price on that particular property was like 240, 235, somewhere in that range. We were able to pick it up like at 190, 197. I forget the exact numbers. Would this work on a property that already had some listing history?
It may. I haven't done it. So we mostly source off-market deals. And one of the things I like about the off-market deals is, guys, you're playing a game of chess in everything you do, right? So you want to plan three or four moves out. So what we'll do is, I'll tell him now. I'm giving. I don't know if I should give this to him. Should I give it to him?
Rock it, brother.
All right. On these deals, what I do is I don't like people to know what we pay for properties. That's my business. That ain't your business. That's my business.
You're a special.
This ain't your business, baby. This ain't your family. Remember, you know, like Bob Sugar?
Hey, Ray, Bob Sugar? You know you're a special human being, right?
All day, baby. But you know what? We're having fun. So,
all right, talk to me.
What we do, guys, is I'm a very special human being. I told you we're gonna be the best call ever. This shit's gonna go viral.
Oh man, I don't even know what kind of reaction we're gonna get from this podcast.
Put it out. Don't even edit it. Just go.
I'm looking for. No, there's gonna be no editing here. I'm putting this out exactly as is.
When in doubt, you know what to do, baby.
So talk to me, man.
So one of the things we'll do, and this is perfectly legal. Again, I'm not giving you legal advice. Just what we do. I'll ask the seller for a credit. Hey, listen, Mr. Pardo, you know your house, you know, looks like it was hit with a bag of nickels all over the place here. You know, you got dog vomit everywhere. This house is destroyed. I might have to put 50 grand into it. And they're aware of it. So just give me a repair credit. I'm buying it for 80, but give me a repair credit so that I can fix it. And we'll put it on the settlement statement. It's not going to affect what you get, but you're giving me a credit. Mm-hmm. For that 50 grand, it's not going to affect your taxes because it's an expense for you, and it's you know, we're raising the price by 50 grand. You're giving me a repair credit on the settlement statement, so it's an expense to you. and we record the property at a higher price.
That's ninja right there.
That is, Al, I'm giving fire, baby.
That's ninja.
That's super ninja.
So you're really, so in this particular.
Let me get even more ninja with you guys. It's ninja when you sell it to a prehab, but if you're going retail, it's super ninja because your FHA buyer, you don't have to wait those 90 days and get two appraisals as long as you're within 20% of what you purchase it for.
Yep. That's right.
Yeah!
That was
my ninja move.
Give me. I think I might. That's the part I'm going to edit out. I might put that as the intro to this call.
Yeah!
What is, you sound like Bruce Lee now, dude.
That's right, bro. That's
what is, give me the numbers on this. So let's say you're really buying it for 80, but you're popping the price up to 130, right? An extra 50.
Or call it a buck 15 or a buck 20, right? And then I can even go to my, you know, I don't do that, but I, you know, if my rehab buyer goes to check the history, damn, dude, this guy bought it for a buck 20. He's making 5 grand. This idiot.
By the way, guys, again, Ray's already alluded to that. You know, we're not giving legal advice. We're not CPAs, attorneys. Right. I got to give that disclaimer. You know, take this information, run it by your local attorney, and just make sure it works in your market.
My attorney is super on board, but again, there's full disclosure. Hey, you're giving me a repair credit, so you're giving me 50, but then on your side, I'm also giving you the expense for 50, so it doesn't matter. You get me? The net effect is that they're going to get XYZ. Most sellers don't care. They just want whatever they're going to get.
Right.
Now, where it becomes ninja is when you sell it to the end buyer, because now you can do that a lot faster and a lot smoother. Yeah. So on this one in Miramar, I think we recorded it at 220. So when we sell it at 260, we ain't going to have no problems because we're still under that 20%.
Do you ever have any objections from the homeowner in terms of, even though it doesn't affect their bottom line, do you ever have any objections in terms of them not wanting to give you that repair credit and then you either having to hold the property 90 days so it's seasoned, or what do you do in that case?
Again, you can sell it faster than 90 days, guys. If they didn't do it, in some cases we bought some probates and they didn't do it. So for example, the one we bought for 75 and sold in Miami Gardens, they didn't do it on that one. It was a probate deal and they didn't go for it. The court wouldn't go for it just because they didn't want to create confusion in the contract. They understood what we were doing, but they just, you know what, they wanted to keep it simple. I said, cool, no problem, keep it simple. So we ended up buying it. No one cares. At the end of the day, guys, people, this is just, we do something to keep it simple for us, but no one really cares. If it's a cash buyer, all they should care about is if it's a deal for them. And you know what? When you do the strategy I'm talking to you about, hey, Mr. Buyer, hey, Mr. Alex, you don't want to buy it? Next, I got somebody else. You are bringing the gold to the market. So you always want to be in a place where whatever the market wants, whatever they're demanding, you're bringing a supply. That's it. We're looking to bring value to the market, given the current market cycle. And right now, that's what they want. So I wouldn't really get stuck on it. And if you're selling it to an end buyer, guys, you can sell it in shorter than 90 days out. And if it's over 20%, but it's just two appraisals. So as long as the house appraises, it's not a big deal. I know guys doing 20, 30 rehabs a month, and they don't do that strategy. I just use it to make it simpler for us.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it makes sense. It's back in the days of like the gold rush in California. You know, you want to be the guy selling the shovel. You don't want to be the guy selling the gold, right? If that makes sense.
And within that, Al, there was a time when you wanted to dig for gold. When nobody else was. When there was nobody looking for gold, you wanted to be the one digging for gold. Yep. But what most people do is they don't transition and say, hold on, man, should I still be digging for gold? And what they'll do is they'll watch their margins diminish. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you know why? Because there's 20 other people digging for gold.
Yeah. Well, dude, here's what I want to do, man. I want to wrap this up with maybe one or two more questions. And so I'm going to go a little more, not high level here, but I guess what I want to ask you is, you got started in this business, what, 2004, which would have made you, how old were you, 24?
Something like that.
Yeah. So what advice would you give your 24-year-old self knowing what you know now?
Man, go big faster, man. Go big. You know, go big, get scale.
Okay. Can you elaborate a little bit on that?
Yeah, so get big, get scale, and buy quality. You know, get big, get scale, buy quality. We did a lot of properties that were, you know, D properties, like in the hood, and started because you started out, that's where you can get the deals, you know. And yet the market doesn't appreciate in those neighborhoods. And then when you go to exit, you almost got to give the dang thing away to get some interest.
Yeah.
But if you're buying something in a very nice area, I think, Al, you've done that great where you're in a great market. You're in that Westchester Southwest pocket. Mm-hmm. Dude, that's a great market. There's always going to be demand there. So as you can transition your business from, again, you know, don't let me go back to that bar analogy. You know what I'm saying? The one Al likes.
I bet you somebody out there is listening to this, and every time you say that analogy, they cringe. So I apologize, but nonetheless, we got to have a little bit of fun on here.
So again, as you transition your business from starting out and doing whatever you got to do to evolving, and you're paying attention and you're testing new things. Look, this wholetail strategy, we're just testing it. I mean, it worked in the past, so we've done it before. You know, in 2008 or 2009, I did a couple of those. So we're going to do some of those again. So, but again, we're willing to test new things. And if it hurts, guys, look, you're going to make mistakes, you know, embrace it. We call them learning lessons. Every deal we do, we learn something. We're better. Look, I bought houses with foundational issues. I didn't know were foundational issues. Guess what? We know now.
Yeah.
So you learn from this stuff and dude, nothing's going to kill you. You know what I'm saying? Like I know Al had something happen in his family on a personal side and someone passed away, and it's like, dude, none of this shit is that important. Mm-hmm. Like, keep perspective, you know, like your family and everything else. Like, be willing to kind of go out there and take those risks, you know, like when you get that uncomfortable feeling in your stomach, go in. I mean, you might lose some money, you might do whatever. I mean, I've lost money on deals, and I think anyone that tells you that they haven't lost money on deals
is lying.
Yeah, you know, they're lying, or you know what's even worse than they're lying, Al? They're not pushing the envelope.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're playing it too safe. They're being
too conservative. They're playing it too safe. So you got to, and I'm not saying be stupid. Guys, pay attention, but be aggressive.
Yeah.
You got to be that. Like my boy Les Brown says from Liberty City, baby, you got to be hungry. You got to be hungry.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. No, man, that's great advice, man. So, hey, brother, I appreciate you bringing it, man. Where can people reach out to you, man, if they want to connect? Maybe somebody's looking to do deals here in South Florida, yeah, or just talk to you. Where can they reach out to
you? You can hit me up. I'll give you my email, and then I'll give you my website. My email is Ramon, R-A-M-O-N, Ramon, period, Gonzalez, G-O-N-Z-A-L-E-Z, @Summit, S-U-M-M-I-T, H as in home, and B as in buyer, homebuyer.com. So Ramon.Gonzalez at summithb.com. Maybe Al, you can put it on the show notes.
I'll put it in the show notes.
Yep. Website is fastcashforhousesnow.com. And one thing I'd leave your listeners with, man, is, dude, every day you got to develop that mindset. You know, this is a triple double we're going for, like Eric Thomas talks about, man. It's all facets of life. You got to develop that brain, that mindset daily, you know, of abundance, of gratitude, of just perspective. You know, you got to do that every single day. You know, I think a lot of you guys, Al and I are in the same markets and we don't really compete with each other. Mm-hmm. You know, but I don't look at him as competition. Like, he's not my competition. Like, that doesn't come up for me.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that, man. You got to have that abundant mindset.
It's more about, hey, how do we collaborate? So how do we collaborate so that we dominate? Oh, that's a hashtag right there. Collaborate, dominate.
I like it, brother. I like it.
How do we collaborate to dominate versus, like, compete? Guys, compete is a zero-sum game. No one wins when you compete. You know who's competing right now? All my rehab buyers looking to buy something. They're competing. So they're going to make less and less every deal and take more and more risk. That's not what it's about. So work on that mindset. The second B I'll leave you with is kind of your relationships. You know, like, make sure that's golden. Because this idea that our personal life is unaffected, it's bullshit. Al, sorry about that.
It's true, man.
Dude, Al, if you're having a fight with your lovely wife, you're not 100%, brother. I know you're not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a ripple effect in every other aspect of your life.
Yeah, right? Or, you know, both and I have baby girls. Look, if we ain't spending time with them, we ain't connecting, we're not 100%. So it's a holistic approach to everything that you want to take. You know, your body, you can't let that go either. You got to pay attention. So be hungry. At the same time, watch all the other levels because everything's affected by it. You know, and then focus on the income and the business. But you really have to become that kind of person. So you got to be, and then you do, and then you have. And I think a lot of the guys starting out, they're looking at the mechanics. Al, what is it you do? Al, what is this one thing that you do that if I did that, man, my whole life would be set apart, man? That shit would set my head on fire, man.
It doesn't work like that.
You have to become first. You got to put in the work, and then you get the success. And I think a lot of guys are just willing to kind of become that kind of person and give to the world and add value. Man, you can't, if you don't plant seeds, you know what I'm saying? If you don't plant seeds, you're not going to be able to ever reap. You know, you got to walk by faith, not by sight.
Yeah. No, man, I appreciate you coming with a passion and with the energy, man, and what you're, you know, what you're saying right now. I couldn't agree with you more, like 120%. You know, so often I work with somebody getting started, and like you said, they're so hungry to find out about the sneaky technique, the trick, the latest shiny object. And I'm like, what's between your ears? What's your mindset first? Because I can share with you everything that I'm doing, but if you don't have the right mindset and you don't have it between your ears, it's not going to work for you, you know?
And as you go into people, like people, when you ask me that question about me, do I have the issue of people not accepting the repair credit or whatever? Guys, when people know, guys, these people may not be sophisticated. They may be going through a distress situation, man, but they know that you care. Like, caring, guys, like really caring for these people. I'm not saying do something stupid, but really caring. There's no faking sincerity. They know I'm there to help. They know I'm a shepherd. I'm not there to be a wolf. You guys go and be a wolf. I'm going to go and be a shepherd. I'm going to get a lower price than you guys are going to get all day, every day, guaranteed.
Yeah.
Because people, even though they're not sophisticated or whatever, dude, people can smell passion. They can smell integrity.
I love it, man. I think we just dropped the mic right there. Let's just end it there.
Mamba out.
Mamba out. Love Kobe. Love Kobe. Cool, brother. Hey, man, I know you and I will talk offline. We talk pretty much every week. So, you know, awesome having you on, man. And what we're going to do is we're going to definitely split this up into two parts. So it's going to be episode 54 and episode 56. But all that information will be in the show notes. And, you know, if you're listening to this right now, this is part two. Go back and definitely listen to part one, which is episode 54. I'm going to cut this. This is going on about an hour now, so I'll probably cut it in half. So again, if you're listening to this part two, make sure that you check out part one to get some more context and perspective on everything that we've covered here, from market cycles to, you know, selling to prehabbers, selling to wholesalers, and everything in between. So, Ray, man, appreciate it. If you guys want to reach out to Ray,
one last thing, hashtag who's your daddy?
Come on.
Hashtag best podcast ever.
I like it, man. I like it. We'll go with the best podcast ever. How about that?
All right.
All right, guys. Hey, Ray, man, appreciate it. If you guys want to connect with Ray, Ramon.Gonzalez@summithb.com. And what's the website one more time, man?
www.fastcashforhousesnow.com.
All right, cool. And all that information, guys, will be in the show notes along with some of the websites that we mentioned to get a better, you know, grip on where you're at in your market cycle. So, guys, if you're getting value out of the podcast, I would love it if you can go to iTunes and submit a 5-star rating and review. And if you have any questions you want featured in an upcoming show, just go to flipempire.com, click on the Ask Alex link there, and just record your question. I'd be happy to feature it in an upcoming call. So,
and a question could be, you know, hashtag bring back Ray.
Yeah, guys, that's another thing. If you've enjoyed the call, and if you haven't gotten anything from the call, which I'd be shocked, but if you didn't, hopefully, you know, you got a laugh and you got some smiles. Let me know in the comments section here in the show notes, and maybe we can bring Ray back in 3 to 6 months or so. So
great, guys. Ray,
thanks, buddy. Appreciate it, man.
All right, later, bro.
Take care, everyone.
That's all for this episode of the Flip Empire Show. But we have you covered with even more expertise and resources on our website. Text EMPIRE to 67076 or head over to flipempire.com to join the newsletter and gain free instant access to our video module training course called 5 Ways to Scale Your Real Estate Wholesaling Business to 6 Figures in 6 Months or Less. For more interviews, strategies, and insights for the smart real estate investor, we'll catch you next time here on the Flip Empire Show.